All right. You can be opening your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. You have your Bibles open to Daniel chapter 1. I'd like to do a quick review of last week before we start into this week's lesson. If you remember, the series was Serving God Through the Eyes of Bible Heroes. And we kind of reviewed the Midwinter Retreat sermons on the motivations to serve God. But the whole point of this series is, what does it look like to serve God in our personal lives? Okay, we want to serve God. How do I do that? What does that look like in my day-to-day life? And that's what this series is covering. Last week we looked at David, and the gist of last week was basically that instead of longing to be in senior high, and then when you're in senior high, longing to be in college, and then when you're in college, longing to be an adult, and looking forward to the things and seeing, oh, I'm missing out on this. Oh, I don't have this yet. Oh, I'm not given this privilege, to focus on the here and now and having or being able to use this time that God's giving you to prepare to be an adult, to grow close to God. And if you remember the three things we looked at, the three areas we can grow in is growing on in our relationship with God. We talked about David being in the pasture and being bored. You know, a shepherd's life is not very exciting unless, you know, the one time the lion or the bear comes. And but he chose to use his free time to grow spiritually rather than to just fool around and play games the whole time and waste his life as he's going through his childhood. The second area that we talked about was growing in our capabilities. And we see that by the passage we looked at. David felt confident to use his sling when he went against Goliath. And it wasn't because he had never practiced before, but he said, hey, this is the best thing I got, so this is what I'm going to use. No, he had Saul's armor. He had Saul's sword. And he specifically said, I haven't proved this. I'm experienced and capable in this area. He had been practicing his capabilities. So when God needed to use him, he was ready. So we applied that to our life and saying that we need to grow in the abilities and in the talents God has given us. So when Brother Scott or Miss Christina needs you to do a special in here, or they ask you to help in an activity, or they want you to lead a children's church, or whatever the opportunities you have in the here and now, you're ready, and you don't say, choose someone else. You know, like, I can't do that. No, thank you. Or whatever reason you come up with. So grow in your relationship with God, grow in your capabilities, and lastly, grow in your responsibilities. And this one, we really dug into the passage. And it specifically says that David woke up early in the morning when he went to bring his brother's food because his dad told him to. He then left the sheep with a keeper. And instead of saying, oh, I'll only be gone for a couple hours, what's the worst that could happen? They're in a fence. It's fine. If a wolf comes, my family will hear it and go take care of it. Instead of kind of making excuses and then not being responsible, he specifically found a keeper for the sheep. And then he takes it in even another step. When he brings the carriage into the army to bring the food to his brothers, he leaves the carriage with a keeper. And that would have been the easy excuse to make in the world, right? I'm in the safest place in Israel right now. Every single man that has a weapon is around this, like, 1 mile radius. I think the carriage isn't going to get stolen today. He could have said that. But instead, he specifically left the sheep with the keeper. He left the carriage with the keeper. He then brought food to his brother's captain first as a sign of respect. Then he did what his dad asked him and brought the food to the brothers. So we see he was very responsible, even at a young age. And so we talked about growing in our responsibilities. And in fact, what's funny is that a way that that could have been done was coming yesterday, helping out and practicing your outreach into the community and into the needy people of our church. Now, I skipped the conclusion because we ran out of time, so I want to hit one more point before we go into today's lesson. And the last thing that we didn't get to go over was kind of a positive note. I don't want you to think, oh, I'm a kid now and I can't do anything, but I'm supposed to be thankful and just work on my relationship with God and grow in my responsibilities, and I don't have anything exciting. That was the whole point. He said, don't look forward. Like, I'm not trying to say that your life is terrible right now. In fact, it's awesome. A thing that's cool about growing up and not being an adult yet is that if you do make a mistake, they don't hurt as much. The consequences, that's what I'm looking for. The consequences aren't as bad. Think about it. If you make a misstep, let's say you're in charge of a responsibility at home, or you're helping out in school. An example of this, I know this is something very small, but something that the Lord gave me the opportunity to do to grow in my responsibilities when I was your age was Mr. Dalton asked me if I would help take the cones Wednesday night from, because you know how there's like 100 cones to make sure that the cars that come for drop-off either go to the door or go around to the parking lot. Well, those have to move for Wednesday night. So he asked me if I would do it. So every Wednesday night, I would go down, move the cones, then change into khakis, a shirt and tie, and then come up for the our soul winning time, the same thing you guys do now. And so I got to do that. If I didn't do that 1 week, and 1 week it almost happened. So I was so busy. We had an exam. I was sick the day before. I had to take the exam after school. Once I got done with my exam, I was already late to come here. So I was running here, and I totally forgot about the cones. And so, but it was a mistake. But it didn't have terrible consequences. Me forgetting to do the cones when I was your age versus someone that, let's say the person who's in charge of the building. Let's say he forgot to turn the heat on this morning. You know, the entire church would be like 40 degrees. It's cold outside, right? That has a lot bigger consequences than me forgetting to move the cones. So as you're growing, as you're working on your capabilities, you're working on your relationship with God, you're working with your responsibilities, if you have a misstep and you need to learn from a mistake, it's not the end of the world. And that's the beautiful thing about being growing into adulthood and not being an adult yet, is that your mistakes don't have as much consequences. So that's not a free rein to make mistakes, but if you do make a mistake, you know, don't beat yourself up too bad over it. It's part of the growing process. So that's something else that was a benefit, and also from David's life. So now we're done with David. Let's go to Daniel. You're in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. But first, I'd like to ask you guys a question. How many of you enjoy doing the experiment for your science projects at school? I know some of you might not have science projects. Some of you, like, all right, writing the paper is never fun. No one said that. But how many of you like doing the experiment or doing something like that? Okay, probably half of you. All right. I thought it was always really cool. I would get excited about the experiment, and then I'd be like, oh, I got to write a paper. But 1 year, I had such a tough time. I got a brilliant idea in my mind. I was like, I love shooting rifles, and I loved playing paintball. I just loved the whole thing about guns. And to me, it was like very manly, you know, and I wanted to be that. And so my science project I was going to do is go to shooting range and have different kinds of bullets and see which bullet went the farthest into stuff. So I was going to have it like a phone book, and then you could count the number of pages it broke, and it would be a measurable way to measure, you know, penetration. And so I was going to do bullet penetration for my science project. And I was so excited. And I was already planning the board. You know, I was like, I'm going to have a really cool picture and maybe like have a dart gun or something that would be allowed. And it's going to be awesome. And so I was so excited. I went to write the paper. You know how many books there are in the library about bullet penetration? None. You know how many books there are about kinetic energy? Like one. And it was like a science book that had like 2 pages on kinetic energy. I was like, and you had to have, I forget what the number was now, but it was like 6 sources or 7 sources, and 5 of them had to be books, and 2 of them could be articles online or something. So I was like, man, I can't do the cool science project. So then I was like, you know what? Plants can never go wrong. There's a million books about plants. Plants are easy to do in your garage or your basement or outside. You know, you can run the experiment. So I thought of, and I forget what it is now, this was many, many years ago, but I thought of something cool to do with plants. Well, then I go into school and find out that the 7th grade teacher, they were having the entire science class do the same project. I don't know if that still happens now, but basically once you went into 9th and 11th grade, because when I was in school, basically the even years you do a history project and the odd years you do a science project. So like 7th, 9th, and 11th grade, you do a science project, and then 8th, 10th, and 12th, you do a history project. So I was in 9th grade, and I found the exact project I wanted to do. The 7th grade science teacher had all the 7th graders doing it. I was like, no, I can't do that one. I don't even remember what I ended up doing, but like it just seemed like I hit obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And sometimes that's picturesque of us in our Christian life. We're trying to do the right thing. I wanted to do my best on the science project. I wanted to try hard. I didn't want to just try and skim by and get a B or a C, enough to pass. I wanted to do a good job. But I kept hitting obstacles, and it was hard for me to reach the goal. And in Christianity, we have the goal of doing what's right. And I would say that the vast majority, if not every single person here, wants to do what's right. But sometimes as you have a good goal, you hit obstacles. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today in Daniel. Daniel hit several obstacles. And we're going to take an overview of Daniel's life. We're not going to get into his entire life and the different things that happened. We're just going to look briefly at a scenario and get some principles from it and then look at the next scenario. But if I had to sum up serving God through the eyes of David, what did it look like in his personal life? It would be, while in the growing stage of our life, we should use the extra time to prepare for adulthood instead of longing for the future. Let me say that one more time. So the summarize of last lesson, serving God through the eyes of David taught us, while in the growing stage of our life, we should use the extra time to prepare for adulthood instead of longing for the future. So if I were to sum up this lesson, what are we going to learn from David or Daniel? Serving God through the eyes of Daniel will teach us, while God works out his plan on his own timetable, we should focus on staying faithful and courageously doing right. And I kind of already gave you some of the lessons that we're going to learn from Daniel, but basically, let me say that one more time for you in case you're taking notes. Serving God through the eyes of Daniel will teach us, while God works out his plan on his timetable, we should focus on staying faithful and courageously doing what's right. Okay, so we're in Daniel chapter 1. Let's read verses 3 through 14 quickly. The Bible says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning, and knowledge, and understanding science." Hey, maybe they had science projects too growing up. "And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. You probably already know this story. And anytime this story gets brought up, the sermon is always verse 8. He purposed in his heart. So we got to make a decision we'll do right ahead of time. And then we move on. We never look at the rest of the story or other lessons. And so what I'd like to look at is a couple key points and bring out some of the story from the passage. And then we'll learn the first part of how Daniel stayed faithful. This point, if you're taking notes, the first point is Daniel faithfully ate pulse and drank water while God worked on his behalf in the Babylonian training. So we see Daniel being faithful from the very beginning. Daniel faithfully ate pulse and drank water while God worked on his behalf in the Babylonian training. So first thing I want to point out, look at verse 5. You know, sometimes we have in our mind that this didn't take too long. You know, school takes forever, but they probably just, you know, a couple, 6 months, summer hit, and then they got to serve the king. Look at what verse 5 says again. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them. What's the next two words? Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them. Thank you, all three of you. 3 years. He had to do this for 3 years. Now, some of you are like, I'm in high school a lot longer than 3 years, okay? I'm having to deal with worse than Daniel. That's not what I'm saying. 3 years of eating pulse and drinking water. How many of you would like to have a Caesar salad and only a Caesar salad for the next 3 years, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and only drink water? One person who's just raising his hand so that he could raise his hand. Like, that would be crazy. Think about that for a second. Now, pulse wasn't a Caesar salad. I'm just trying to get your mind to think eating something healthy that probably doesn't taste too awful crazy, you know, and eating that every day. Like, that's a lot. He faithfully did that day after day after day. Now, mind you, while he's doing that, he's seeing everyone else have steaks that were grilled and probably seasoned amazing and marinated and had the char marks and everything, and who knows what kind of sides they got, if they got mashed potatoes and green beans, or if they got like a baked potato. I don't even know if they had potatoes in Babylon, but who knows. And anyway, think about that. Have you guys ever, like, I don't know how many of you are on, like, diet plans or health plans or whatever you want to call it. Maybe some of you have allergies, so you can only eat certain foods. But have any of you ever, like, tried to been good? You have some kind of a healthy meal, and it doesn't taste nasty. But then you see someone eating, like, an ice cream Snickers bar or something. You're like, oh, that looks good. Or, you know, you're trying to be, or let's say you just got braces, right? This will hit home for some of you. I had braces for like 4 years. So I know the pain. You just got your braces on. They say, no gum, no mints, no popcorn. And as soon as they say that, you just long for popcorn randomly. It's not even in the nighttime. You're not even watching a movie. And as soon as they say no popcorn, you're like, ooh, buttery popcorn. And then you go home and someone's eating it. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. No one in my family is eating popcorn for 3 months. I get braces the day that I do, you eat popcorn. Like, how does that work? And, you know, so there are different times where you're trying to do something, and then you see someone eating something that you really, really want. That probably happened to Daniel. Think about it. Now, he wouldn't have ever have eaten this meat, right? It was meat offered to idols. He was forbidden. But in Israel, they still had meat. Now, he was eating pulse. Now, pulse is a medley of vegetables, right? So he basically was on, like, a vegetable diet, maybe some fruits, I don't know. But the point is, pulse does not include meat. So even the meat that he could have, lamb and chicken and a couple of the different meats that the Old Testament did allow, kosher meats, if you will, they could have been served that sometime. He's like, ooh. I had to go to the boss and ask to eat vegetables. Look at that. And, you know, he probably had some tough times. What I'm trying to get hit home for you guys is that it was not easy to stay faithful. Daniel had to work at it. It's not like he's just like, yeah, I'm going to eat pulse and drink water. I'm going to be just fine. In fact, I'm going to look better than all of you. Thank you. I'm serving the Lord. And he goes and eats and just goes about his day, and he's floating on cloud nine, and everyone's like, I wish I was like Daniel. I should have said something too. No, he was suffering. He was like, oh, and maybe he had a great spirit. I'm not trying to say he was sad all the time. But what I'm trying to say is that it was tough. Okay, 3 years. The passage shows that Daniel had to be faithful for a while. But also, it was a premeditated decision. Look at verse 8. This is the one everyone hits home on, so I'm not even going to spend much time here. Daniel purposed in his heart. Right, he made a decision that he would not defy the Old Testament, no matter what his circumstances were. So when he finally got brought to that decision, it wasn't that hard. It was a courageous decision. He had to go in front of all of his peers. Now that's scary enough. Has anyone ever had to, like, go up and say something to the teacher? Not that you're like telling on someone, which isn't bad if they're doing something wrong. But, like, you know, just, like, you're in front of everyone and you have a question, you know, or this is the best one. This is the best one. You're in some kind of an airport or you're in maybe here and it's Wednesday night and everyone's talking, blah, blah, blah. And then let's say Brother Chase comes up and makes an announcement. Teen time in 3 minutes. Go get your Bible. If you have to use the restroom, please do. And everyone gets, like, dead quiet, but you're still talking. And then, like, everyone can hear the private conversation you're having. Not that it's, like, weird or anything. You just don't want everyone listening on how something happened at school that day. And so you're like, yeah, so then he said, you know, and then people start talking again and you feel comfortable. Something like that. Imagine that kind of awkward in front of everyone. Like, he had to go to the prince of the eunuchs, the person who was in charge of every captive, training them for 3 years. It was a huge program. Think about this. They got it from the entire nation of Israel. There's 12 tribes, so you can picture maybe 12 states, kind of, if you will. Each area of Israel had their own tribe. So it would be a slightly different culture, maybe a little different diet, depending on the topography and everything. So you have all these different groups of people. Yeah, you're the same nation, but all these different groups of people, you're then on risk of your life, right? You're a captive, and you just saw them kill a ton of your countrymen. It's like, let's say Russia invaded America, and you saw them kill entire towns, and because you got great grades in school, they took you to Russia to be a cabinet member after you trained for 5 years. You had to learn Russian. You had to, you know, train in communistic education, whatever that entails or doesn't entail, and whatever. And then at the end of it, you were going to be part of the Russian government. Like, would you want to be like, I'm not eating that. I only want chicken nuggets. I want French fries. I want American food, okay? Like, you would not want to say something like that. You're like, they just killed all of West Virginia. I'm not saying anything, okay? Like, picture the fear he had to have when he just saw them destroy Israel, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I can't eat that. This might not end well. I only survived and I last about an extra day than the rest of everyone. You know, he probably was very scared. It was awkward, it was long, and it was scary. But he still was faithful. So think about that when we read this. It's not just like, oh yeah, Daniel ate pulse and water, blah, blah, blah. So it was tough. It was tough to be faithful, but he did it. Daniel faithfully ate pulse and water while God worked on his behalf. It's hard to do something consistently. I'll tell you a quick story about myself, and then we're going to have to go soon. This is going to be a couple weeks worth of a lesson. Have any of you ever tried something really hard? And then, like, you got, like, all pumped about it and everyone was doing it. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then you go to do it, and it's, like, a lot tougher than you thought. You're like, well, maybe I'm not going to do this. Has that ever happened? Maybe a jump program or a workout program, or maybe it's a music lesson. You want to learn a new instrument, or maybe you're like, I'm going to learn a new language. Or maybe it's, like, I'm going to become a reader. And so you read your first book, and you go to your second book, you're like, I'm done with this, and you go back to your video games or something. Like, anything in your life, you've tried something hard and, like, not carried all the way through, be honest. Come on, be honest. All right. Like, every one of you is raising your hand except for, like, five of you. Okay. I have a story of that, too. I was on the starting five of the basketball team when I was in high school, and our senior year, we decided we wanted the starting five to be able to dunk. It was going to be intimidating. All five of us were going to dunk. Now, at the time, only one of us could dunk. So the other four of us were like, we're going to dunk too. And so we banded together. We were excited. Oh, I got ready. We all got the same jump program. It was going to add 5 inches to our vertical, blah, blah, blah. And it sounded all fun. And I was like, yes. And I was already the tallest of the four people that couldn't dunk. So I had the easiest, you know. I only needed to grow in my jump capabilities so much. And then I did the first week of the jump program. And it was rough. And I was like, oh, my word. Summertime is supposed to be fun. There's no more school in. This is worse than what school was in. So, and then the next week happened. Then something came up. I think I got sick. And before you know it, I did every day of the jump program. then I was like, you know what, I'll do every other day. And instead of 5 inches, I'll get 3 inches. And I'll just really try hard and dunk. And it didn't happen. I stopped like 3 or 4 weeks into it. I think it was like 13 weeks or something. And a little tidbit of information, just in case you thought I was the only one. At the start of the next basketball season, the one person that could dunk was still the only person that could dunk. So, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's hard to be consistent. And it's hard to stay faithful, especially in something that's tough. When you have an area in your spiritual life, something, maybe it's a trial you're facing. Maybe it's a besetting sin, something that you always struggle with. You always want to get angry, or you always tend to lie to get out of trouble, or you have a lazy streak in you. You find yourself always doing stuff for the last second. And the Lord has spoken to you about it. You're like, I really should work on that. Being faithful is something that's not just I'm going to pray at the altar and I'm now perfectly faithful. I go home and all my problems are solved. I'm not lazy anymore. I don't lie. I don't get angry. I don't have mean thoughts. I'm not gossiping about people. It's just, boom, it's done. No, it takes work. And that's what I want you to see. Daniel's personal life. What did it look like to serve God through the eyes of Daniel? He faithfully ate the pulse and drank the water while God worked on his behalf. And he did it even though it was tough. He did it even though it was long. He did it even though it was kind of scary. He had to be courageous about it. It was in front of everyone. It was in an enemy territory. He faithfully served God. How does Daniel's example translate to our own lives? Real quick, and then we're done. How does Daniel's faithfulness, how can we use that in our life? What does that apply to us? Well, first of all, reviewing the blessings help us get through the trials. Think about all the blessings Daniel has. Now, it doesn't say specifically that he went through the blessings each day, but it's a principle that you can use. He had a lot of blessings going for him. Daniel wasn't killed like a lot of his countrymen were, and he probably saw some of them get killed. All right, he was still alive. Daniel was granted permission to eat the pulse. God specifically worked on his behalf in the heart of the person who was in charge of the training and let him do it. God worked in Daniel's life in a very apparent way. So he answered a prayer request in front of everyone. And the last thing I'd like to ask you is, when is the last time you reviewed the good things God has done for you? Think about it. You're in a